we're back. It's the International Punk Supplier Radio Show, the only radio show dedicated to bringing you the greatest in punk hits. Today, brought to you by three ex-Chicagoans for the first time ever, we have DJ Little Tokyo.
Yo, what's up?
The Chilean Hammer himself. What's up, Diego?
What's going on, man? Coming at you from the People's Republic of East Hollywood.
And coming at you from the Hollywood. I'm actually up in Big Bear right now. I'm trying to light a bunch of fireworks in a dry mountain to just see it all burn. I think that that'd be a good idea. It's your one and only DJ Hollywood. What's up?
I just like that Diego's actually in Hollywood and you're just some fake Hollywood chump.
Yo, I'm in East Hollywood. I'm between Little Armenia and Little Bangladesh, so people can come fucking find me and fight me.
And excuse me, Joey, but if we've been over this. Hollywood is a state of mind. Thank you. Okay, so get it fucking right.
All right, keep telling yourself that.
So off the top, we heard football stadium's premier hot track played at Soldier Field. Stadiums everywhere. What was it, Diego?
That was The Exploited, Scotland's own, with Fuck the USA. You'll see a pattern in the songs I picked, which is songs that I liked when I was 15.
Tight.
When I was very, very anti-American. I was undocumented back then, dude. I'm really fucking outing myself here today.
Yeah, fuck them all. Obviously, this episode is going to be very pro-America, if you can't catch the theme already. So, get your grill out, get your hot dogs ready, your hamburgers, your ketchup, your mustard.
Yeah, I just want to say for the record, I am not partaking. I am a patriot, and I will be celebrating 4th of July like any good red-blooded American by grilling dead meat. Dead animals. No.
I'm only doing this ironically after driving through America's vast expanses. I also, when I was going through Western Colorado, I met my friend, now friend, Lauren Volbert, in Rifle, Colorado. So,
Rifle, Colorado.
Yeah, we'll talk about this off.
Straight up, we will. But Colorado's a weird place.
Yeah, I mean, the USA is a weird place.
I mean, really, everything west of the Rockies is fucking weird, man. Fucking weird folk. No offense. Shout out to all our Western listeners.
Why you guys moved out there, I have no idea.
Yo, because California rules. Go fuck off.
Yeah, and it is weird until the moment you see the skyline of Los Angeles, basically. So
the skyline,
what little there is. There's like three or four buildings.
What you can see through the smog?
You see the smog. I guess what I should have said is the moment you come down through the mountains and you see the smog.
You see the Hollywood sign plastered above. You got the Griffith Observatory.
The Hollywood sign is 17 miles across. Most people don't know this.
Yeah, massive. Absolutely massive.
Damn, I just don't remember because I've always been so high.
That's right.
Oh, because you were very up in the mountains.
Me and Hollywood, DJ Hollywood over here are high right now.
So DJ Hollywood is not high. Thank you very much. I just want to set the record straight.
Still edge.
Yeah, nailed to the X. What we got next?
What we got next is Chicago's own Kudos with Asesinos.
I'll see you.
we are fucking back. You just heard Kudos followed by Propagandi, Fuck the Border, which I just recently found out is Propagandi because they're from the fucking prairie provinces.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, huh?
Winnipeg Zone.
Winnipeg Zone.
I gotta say, I never really got into Propagandi.
You know, Gandhi. I got Gandhi. Into them and then I got out of them. What's that, Joey?
I didn't say shit.
Oh, Gandhi. Yeah, that's
right. I was saying Gandhi. It's kind of very Chicagoan to say it like that, too. Hey, dude, Propagandi.
Those people say pasta.
Piesta. All right, so here's the thing. Heather gets mad at me when I call pasta noodles. I'm like, yo, let's have some noodles tonight. And she's like, oh, what do you want? Like soba? Like udon? And I'm like, ah, no, let's get some, like, spaghetti. Like fettuccine. Do you guys call pasta, like, noodles?
No, I call it fucking pasta because I'm a fucking American, you moron.
No, fuck you, man. Like, pasta noodles can just be noodles. Like, you know, different types of pasta can be referred to as noodles.
I support your decision to do that, but I don't. I call every pasta by its own individual name. You got tortellini, and you got penne, etc.
Tortellini, tortelloni, hey.
Etc. Yeah.
Oh, whatever.
I am 1% Italian, as per my genetic test. Right. Where is it two? Who the fuck cares?
Wait, sorry. So I have a question. Diego, were you a spiky punk in high school?
Oh, hell no.
He was an emo bro.
No. I made a swift transition from being like a nu metal guy to like being like all my shirts were XLs. And they're XLs again. But they were
they fit very, a little very, better this time.
Yeah, they fit a little nicer. They were very, very big back then, and then I suddenly wore very small shirts because I was like into Poison the Well.
I remember Diego in his tight shirt days. It was good.
That's right.
It's very good.
And then I was still skinny, but my shoulders grew, so then I had to go a size up.
So you were never a full fledged spiky punk. Just enjoyed the culture.
Man. A thing I enjoyed about hardcore is that they just look like dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. The Exploited never got into them. Propagandi. I don't know. Propagandi. That track was cool, but like everything I remember from Propagandi is like, it's just, I don't know. It's too much.
Too much. Were you listening to like the newer like stuff that was very noodly, or were you talking about like the Fat Mike days? The Fat Records.
I think I was listening to the noodles, throwing back to noodles.
The noodling. Yeah, that's where they kind of lost me.
I'm not one to noodle, okay?
What's the other member of Propagandi? What did he do? What was it called? His song Anchorless that he did in both bands.
Oh, he was in the Weak. He
the
left
Weaker Thans. John K. Sampson. Weaker
Thans. Yeah.
Give me the Weaker Thans over Propagandi any day of the week.
Those, you know who also they shared members with?
Who?
Swallowing Shit.
I was gonna. I thought you were saying that. That's the screaming. That's the guy that sang that song.
I actually was like looking through Swallowing Shit songs to see if I could play one.
Yeah,
I will play Pro-Abortion Antichrist. Oh, that would have been actually a really fucking good one. Ah, oh, damn, man, that would have been great, but whatever.
I gotta admit that being here and my records not being here yet, I couldn't even like reference. I couldn't be like, oh yeah, this song is very anti-American.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I got rid of 90% of my records in America. Thanks, Jim, guys.
Yeah. Shout out, Jim.
Yeah, so shout out to Marie Kondo for allowing us to downsize our lives.
Yeah, exactly.
Bring things that spark joy.
Yes. Speaking of things that spark joy, I'm going to move into my block of rock. And this first song is called I Killed Donald Trump by Liquids. I'm folks, we're back. That was CCR with Fortunate Son. Before that, we heard Dillinger IV, an American band. Before that was Blood Pressure with Drone War. Before that was Violence is Their Currency by Green Beret. And we started it off with Northwest Indiana's own Liquids with I Killed Donald Trump. How's it going, guys?
Yo, Creedence Clearwater Revival are so fucking good.
The best.
Yeah, one of the greatest American bands ever.
Yeah, for sure, man. Who doesn't fuck with Fogerty, man?
Yeah. I believe, are they from, they're from California, I just can't remember where.
I think San Francisco.
San Francisco. Yeah, right? Joey, you might remember that we were, this is pre-smartphone, we had to text someone that was in our car's mother to figure out where they were from. Because, like, she was at her computer. Because we, this is how you did shit back in the day.
Yeah, we, yeah. Were yeah. we... Yeah, because we probably thought they, like, you know, I mean, like, they do the, like, bayou thing, and you think they're from, like, Louisiana, but they're from fucking California.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly where we're like, no, no, they're from California, man. No, they're from Louisiana. Maybe they're from Mississippi.
I think that was the thing, though. Like, everyone thought they were a Southern, like, if you didn't know any better, like, thought they were, like, a Southern band because of, I don't know. Just the vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah, the style. I mean, yeah, for sure. Was that on the way to a fest?
Either on the way to or on the way back. We were in the South.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I thought. It was like on our way to like This Is For You Fest like 2007.
Maybe or 8. One of those. Yeah, that's, yeah, sure. That sounds right.
No, no, we went to the 2007 together because I played with Weekend Nachos 2006 and I played with Poison Planet, I want to say, in 2008, but I just went. I just went as a fan in 2007.
You know why it gets confusing is because it was always like the very last days of the year.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh man, Joey, I forgot about your time in Weekend Nachos, the Beachend Machos.
Oh yeah,
your,
that was great.
Your era of it.
Yeah, it was fun. I mean, I think I only played like six shows. I want to say. One in Chicago for Dave Tyag's memorial
at the
show.
Knights of Columbus.
Yeah, I was just supposed to do the tour, but then, you know, obviously that happened and John asked me to play and I was more than stoked to do that. That was fun as fuck.
Yeah, shout out to Arlington Heights.
Arlington Heights.
Yep. Shout out to Dave Tyag.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Shout out wherever he is.
Yep. Cool.
Yo, Dillinger 4 looks so young in that picture.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, I mean, that came out, what, like, maybe, that was like that was 90s, right? Like,
oh, for sure.
Late 90s. Yeah, that was off that More Songs About, like, Girlfriends and Bubblegum or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that 7-inch. I mean, I love Dillinger 4, so.
It is weird when guys don't just aren't born being 40 years old.
Yeah. Dillinger 4 will always be the band that's like, yeah, you guys are all 40, like at all points throughout your career. But, you know, maybe it's just because that's when I like really started seeing them. They always look so much older. I mean, just like Patty has like a beer belly and they all just have dad bods.
Yeah, they do. They really do.
Yeah. Another good, excellent band.
Good tracks, Joey.
Well, I was actually like figuring out which Dillinger 4 song to play is kind of hard because there's so many like anti-America songs.
Yeah, and I haven't listened to Dillinger 4 in forever too. So that was
fucked
nice.
Up, man. I still listen to Dillinger 4 all the time. Sick.
Unrelated, but related to your tracks, I'm glad you played that Green Beret song. Green Beret fucking rocks.
Yeah, Green Beret was so good.
Yeah. Were you guys at that Mousetrap show?
Yeah.
I was.
That was fucking awesome.
I was standing all the way in the back. It was fucking weird. Like, it was so fucking crowded.
That was very... I think Crazy Spirit played. Does that sound right?
I don't remember, man.
There was a New York band they were touring with. I think it was Crazy Spirit. And I just remember... leaving after Green Beret because I just didn't.
Crazy like Spirits fucking beat. I could never get into it, man.
Yeah, no, not for me.
I think Kulo played that show, as well.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know who else opened, but yeah,
Green Beret, Band of Tall Dudes.
Tall men.
Except, isn't Paul Henry in that band too? He's not tall. He's the opposite. Doesn't he play bass?
Don't know.
I don't remember, man. Paul Henry is very not tall. You're right. I'll cut to that.
But I'm also very not tall, so props to the
Troy, you are very five.
Not, shout out to all the short people out there.
To the very not tall people out there.
Yeah.
You have my respect.
Short kings, as it were, in the nomenclature of the time.
Yeah. And then, Blood Pressure. I fucking love that band, too.
Yeah, I feel like Blood Pressure and Green Beret are, like, both bands were, like, caught a moment when they were around and when they were popular and then just kind of burned bright and then, I don't know.
No way to go, man.
Anymore.
I was going to say, that's how you want to do as a punk band.
Yeah, I think I was talking to a friend of the show, Ralph, and he didn't like Blood Pressure, and I was just, like, dumbfounded.
Yeah,
like, how could you not like that band? They're so good.
With all due respect to friend of the show, Ralph. Ralph has lots of, you know, opinions.
You got questionable taste.
But I didn't say that. I didn't say questionable. He's just got very idiosyncratic. Let's say that.
He's my homie. It's all good.
I like Ralph.
Nice.
And then Liquids. I love that they had to abbreviate that on Bandcamp.
Yeah, I mean, I.
Understandably so.
Yeah, no, I get it. But, you know, at the same time, come on.
You should have played, what's that, Macklemore song that's called Fuck Donald Trump? Same idea.
Same idea.
Yeah, that's the thing. If you're popular enough, you probably don't have to abbreviate anything. But if you're just like a lowly little
dude. Well, I mean, in the like region, it kind of just depends. Like, I mean, like, obviously on the record, it's printed out. It's only on Bandcamp, and
it's only on like the internet where you can leave like an actual footprint.
Yeah, things that are physical, like
but it might be on the Bandcamp. Maybe it's on the Bandcamp like statement or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it's probably it's a Bandcamp thing, not anything else. Those fucking tech giants like Bandcamp are trying to censor us.
That's very true.
No, I love Bandcamp. Shout out to Bandcamp. It's where I get a lot of music. I'm rambling. So, Pat, you want to get started?
Yeah, we're going to take it away with the one and only Wasted Time, the track for the Fatherland. Hit it.
Favorite son, why am I against the wall?
Dust off the dirt, from your crusty back patches, because we're back. That was World Burns to Death in the Country of the Blind off the one and only Sucking of the Missile Cock. Right before that, we heard Disrupt with Solidarity, the one and only one-word death threat with Bow to None, and started off with Wasted Time. I hope you guys are feeling very dirty.
That was a great block.
Yeah, the incredible block, honestly, taking me back.
Yeah, definitely. That death threat. Oof.
They're the fucking best, you know?
So good.
Do you remember how it was like, you know, a joke to be like, do you like one word death threat or two word death threat? As if the two could even be comparable. Although for years I maintained the two word death threat was better just to get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
They're not. They're obviously fucking not.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna say we're gonna have this debate here because my blood's boiling. I'm ready to fight.
Your blood pressure is high.
His blood pressure is high. He heard World Burns to Death and he's like, man, I gotta find someone smaller than me.
I gotta send some death threats out.
Yeah.
You fuckers.
But yeah, I remember that. I remember just constantly just, I think it was maybe, what's his name? A person that will not be named that was one of your guys' roommates. Who was very easy to poke about this, so I think I always did that. But yeah,
I think on message board days people like to say it, and retrospect, half of them were trolling. It was just easy troll.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So you brought up a funny story in our chat here.
Hey, I don't know the story that well. But it was at Chicago Fest 05 where the aforementioned Weekend Nachos was playing at noon without a guitar player, which is very classic because their songs do have guitars.
And pretty big part of it, too.
Pretty big part of it. Interesting thing, but I guess there was an argument over merch space. Joey knows that part, but I do know that Jack Control, singer of World Burns to Death, did he slap John from Weekend Nachos?
Yeah, that's the story I heard. I wasn't there.
I saw the aftermath, and I heard from people saying that he said, "I will crush your nachos."
I love that. That's so
also
good.
Like, how old was Jack Control at the time? Was he like in his 30s?
How old was he, and how young was John Caution?
Caution must have been 23.
I was still in high school, so yeah, Caution would have probably been like 22, 23.
That's so stupid.
Yeah.
Grown men are so dumb.
Also, hey, there's an aftermath to it that I didn't say in the chat that, long story short, I wound up being at the Weekend Nacho show in Boston in 2007. And Jack Control came over to a friend of the show, Liz's, house to try to, like, start something again with John.
Oh, really?
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yo, all right. Shout
I heard
out to
they,
like,
I heard they. I heard they squashed the beef, though. I mean,
maybe they did that night.
Yeah, they squashed the beef and then put it over some nachos.
That's right, baby. Yummy. All
goddamn,
American.
All these goddamn meat mouths here.
Get that.
Yo,
get
I,
that
I,
fucking
I
nacho
say,
cheese.
I will say, like, it makes sense that some like crusty overlord like holds on to a resentment about some menial show back in 2005. Like, that's so.
Hey, that was a. That was a pretty big show. That was a great show, man. Fucking Chicago Fest was so fucking
good.
No,
but you know what I mean, like
no, I know, I know, I know.
Yeah.
I got before I say anything else, I think that might not have been Jack that showed up. It might have just been his girlfriend trying to start some shit. You know, I'm misremembering it because it happened outside of my. It happened outside the window. I didn't see it.
It happened like 15 years ago. So
also that.
That's fucking crazy,
dude. That show was sick though. I saw Municipal Waste for the first and actually only time, and it was wild.
In Liz's basement?
No. This is
Chicago Fest
2005.
Joey, you are lying. You saw Municipal Waste later on when there was that like show that got combined. That had, there was like two tours, and Municipal Waste played in like Lamont. With Blacklisted and
Holy
other bands.
Holy shit, I totally forgot about that. I mean, yeah. I guess that would have been my second time seeing it, like, 2 years later. Yeah. Sorry.
When they were a much bigger band.
Yeah, much bigger. Yeah, they were way smaller at that time at Chicago Fest 05. But then also Rambo was great because someone got carried in dressed as
on a
Jesus
cross
on a cardboard cross. It was fucking dude, it was insane.
That fest opened my eyes to lots of things. Also, Finnish band Ristitute playing. Oh man, were they the ones that had like a saw blade record? Do you remember this, Jeff?
I think that was
Left 4 Dead and Acrid. Dead.
Yeah,
like Acrid and Left 4 Dead.
I swear to God, someone had some fucking weird at this fest. Probably
was another band that did that.
Oh, it was Boston's own Isis who also did a Sawblade record.
No. It was one of the bands playing that day.
Could you imagine Isis playing a Chicago fest? That'd be weird.
No, that would be terrible.
Dude, one of the bands that played that day, though, was Expired Youth, which is hilarious.
Whoa.
Dude, so this is kind of weird, but I remember that I was wearing a Sidewalk shirt at that show.
Yeah.
That light blue Sidewalk shirt.
Because you were very straight edge.
I was very straight edge. Shout out to Liz Pinella from Sidewalk. she didn't play that, but I definitely saw her play with Sidewalk.
Hell yeah.
Just love it, man. Love all the youth crew. Oh, the next day at Chicago Fest, the First Step played.
And that was good. And famously...
With the Repos, too, I think.
But the First Step, that journalist, Jessica Hopper, in The Reader... wrote something that did not happen. She wrote as if there was an interaction between her and the singer, but it was really like she was singing it in her head. It was like I don't remember the specifics, but I remember that being like very, very funny because I was next to her.
Straight edge or something?
Yeah, it was something about like this goes out to all the whatever, and it was like, I don't know. She was imagining. She was like talking back in her mind, but then she never thought that people would read. She thought that no one in the room would ever be able to read the Chicago Reader.
Was she like embellishing the ridiculousness of youth crew culture?
I think she was a little bit, but she did it in a very
white dudes with their gym shorts and their Nikes. Like, and...
sure, which is fair enough game, but it was funny because like you got people right there that are going to pick up the newspaper, man.
Well, I mean, to be fair, most people don't think hardcore kids are that smart, so.
But I was going to say, like, she thought that no one there had a past the third grade reading level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're bringing up really, really old beefs. And, if you guys want to, we should do a call-in show where people can squash their beefs, or they can
extend them.
Keep them going. Let's go another 15 years, another 17
we'll play
years.
All beef tracks.
Ooh,
beefy tracks.
That would be sick. Speaking of beefy tracks, we're gonna close this episode out with the one and only Bruce Springsteen. Okay, Joey, I know how you feel about Springsteen. Diego, what about you?
Yo, the boss is the boss, man. Cool. I'm not super into Springsteen, but I recognize the truth.
I think the gang as total is 100% Springsteen backers, counting our other DJs included.
Yeah, I'd definitely say that. I don't know.
It's kind of undeniable music. I don't know what you can say.
I mean, like, say what you will about him current days and, like, you know, being leaning a little too patriotic maybe and doing a podcast with Obama, what have you. But, yo, this dude fucking rules.
I think things change once you hit that third or fourth million.
Yeah.
So.
Probably. Dude, I saw the first time I went back to the States after moving to Japan, it would have been 2016, I want to say. And my parents were like, hey, Bruce Springsteen's in town. Do you want to get tickets? And I was like, fuck yeah, let's go. And seriously, that motherfucker played for 3 hours and like 45 minutes. And you know how we were talking about like cover tracks? in the last episode, he was like, it was like 3.5 hours in, and he was playing like Twist and Shout, and I was just like, this is a fucking terrible song to be playing. Why are you still playing 3.5 hours in and you're playing fucking Twist and Shout? Get me the fuck out of here.
I mean,
yeah. I mean, honestly, I was on board for the first 2.5 hours, but fuck, dude, like, that's just such a long time.
Yo, if like you're in a band like that, you're an entertainer. Like, you know, people want 3 hours of.
They start playing Happy Birthday, and then they're is the band.
It was literally all that type of shit, like, after a while. But what was really fucking impressive was, like, at Bruce Springsteen shows, I guess this is what he does, is he, like, people will make posters, and they'll, like, put the song that they want to hear, and he'll just go around and then pick the posters up, and then bring them back to the stage, and then just show the rest of the band, and it's like, all right, let's go. And so
that's fucking cool.
They're just like fucking true professionals, where they're just like, yep, okay, I can do that one, yeah, let's go.
That's fucking, so fucking good.
Yeah,
where was the show, Joey?
The United Center.
Oh yeah. My god.
My brother and I, like, my parents ended up they had tickets before, and when I said I wanted to go, they're like, okay, we'll get two more, but they weren't together. So my brother and I were together, and my parents were separate. Because otherwise, once they started playing Twist and Shout, I'd be like, let's get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny little anecdote about this song, though. Obviously, outside of being one of the like most misappropriated songs ever, I guess like around the time that this came out, this is some Wikipedia stuff too. Reagan was like trying to use this as one of his campaign songs. And obviously the boss was not approving of this whatsoever. And like, you know, there was this whole back and forth between them where Reagan said that, oh yeah, Bruce Springsteen's one of my favorite songwriters, saying that Born in the USA is his favorite song. And then apparently at some point at a show when Springsteen heard this, he said, well, I bet he's never heard my album Nebraska. So this song's called Johnny 99. Which is about, so like, you know, this disillusioned American murdering someone. Like, so that's like the boss's response to that. It's so fucking good.
Nice.
That's tight.
One of my favorite things about this song is when I got super drunk after Trump got elected, and then was just like showing people videos of the Richard Spencer getting punched in the face, like remix to this song. And so every time it says Born in the USA, it's the fucking punch landing.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Shout out Richard Spencer. Is that what you're saying?
Because I just love Richard Spencer so much. And the Antifas are bad, guys. I hate the Antifas.
All right.
See you guys later.
Make sure to burn your flag today. Talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.
Later.
First kicker took us when I hit the Woo!